Hi, I'm Laura Lynch. This is a podcast from the December 2nd edition of The Current.
Yeah, I feel like I think of myself like as a broken person a lot now. Like, I recognize in me a few things are broken that weren't before. Like, I feel that.
Heartbreak can leave you feeling just that, broken and afraid.
You can feel the impact of what you've been through, that it's changed you in some way.
Like, over Christmas, a cousin was like, I'm sure when you find somebody, you know, who's, like, the right person for you, you know, like, you're older now, you're wiser, in just a few months, you'll probably make a choice. And as she said that, I was just like no, that's actually not true. You know, I think that I would need to date somebody for, like, out of anxiety, I would probably want to be with somebody, like, for years before I could ever make a commitment to them, because I'm so afraid. I guess I don't trust myself to make the right choice.
That's a patient in a therapy session featured on the CBC podcast, Other People's Problems. Betrayal, breakups, abandonment. If you've been through any of that, you know how painful the memories can be. But would you change those memories if you could? A new study is looking into just that, whether it's possible to edit bad memories. Alain Brunet is professor of psychiatry at McGill University, and he joins me from our Montreal studio. Hello.
Hello, Miss Laura Lynch.
Editing memories sounds a bit like science fiction. What did your study look at?
It does a little bit sound like science fiction, but it no longer is. We've been conducting studies on reconsolidation therapy, that's how it's called, for more than 15 years now. And we've worked with people suffering from PTSD, substance abuse, adjustment disorders. So the possibility of decreasing the strength of an emotional memory is definitely with us now. And we're using it to help patients recover from very difficult events.
What exactly is memory reconsolidation?
When you recall a memory, it needs to be saved again to long-term memory storage. And this opens the door to interfering with this process. And so reconsolidation therapy involves thinking precisely about a specific event and interfering with the re-saving of this event in your long-term memory.
So it's less about erasing a memory or editing the memory than altering your emotional reaction to the memory.
The emotion is a memory. So when you recall an event, you get in touch with the original emotion, and that emotion is also a memory. So we're essentially decreasing the strength of this emotion.
Well, why were you studying heartbreak?
I got interested in heartbreak because it's the number one reason why people consult a psychotherapist. It's also the stuff that Greek tragedies are made of, and it's something really at the core of the human experience.
But is there an actual psychiatric condition attached to heartbreak?
Yes, there is. In the most severe cases, it can be considered as an adjustment disorder. So you have essentially anxious and depressive symptoms.
And before we get into the details of your study, I'm wondering if you can try to explain for us non-scientists how memory actually works.
Well, I'm not sure that I can explain to you in a nutshell how memory works, but there are certain features of memory that we certainly understand better than we used to. And it has to do with the way how memories are created, stored, and recovered. What we now understand much better is that when you recall a memory, it needs to be saved again to long-term memory storage. And that discovery allows us to try to interfere with that process and decrease the strength of certain memories, because we are now also understanding that there's a whole class of mental disorders that have at their core an emotional memory. Consider phobias, consider post-traumatic stress disorder, consider adjustment disorders, such as a romantic betrayal or other types of adjustment disorders. We are understanding that there's this class of disorders where if we could decrease the strength of that emotional memory, we would probably get rid of the symptoms, and we would effectively cure this person of this mental disorder. And as a result of that, this person may not have to revert to antidepressants or a long-term psychotherapy. So it's really a big step forward from the perspective of mental health.
So take me through what you had the participants in your study to do.
So you're talking about the romantic betrayal study.
Yes.
Well, essentially, we had people write an account of their romantic betrayal event. We asked people to read this account to us under the influence of a beta blocker drug called propranolol. And so propranolol has this property of interfering with the re-recording of parts of a memory, and particularly the emotional component of that memory. So the treatment is very simple. You essentially need to reactivate this memory, and then you let the drug do the work. And that you do this once a week for 4 to 6 weeks.
And the drug does its work, and what are the results of the study then?
So the result is that week after week, if you use a self-report questionnaire to measure the severity of the symptoms, what you see is that the symptoms associated with the adjustment disorder decrease week after week after week. And after 4 to 6 weeks, people are able to read their narrative with very little. They don't feel so emotional about it, and they feel like it could be a page that's been taken from a novel.
What did the participants tell you then about how they felt?
Well, they feel they're really amazed at what the treatment is doing to them. They feel less emotional. They feel like they're getting their life back.
So you had 60 participants in the study. That doesn't seem to me like a huge sample size. How confident are you the results can be replicated?
I'm very confident that the results can be replicated because this is the same protocol that we've been using in traumatic stress, and this is the same protocol that's been used in phobias. So we've conducted several studies, including one in Paris with survivors of the terrorist attacks.
Does it replace other PTSD treatments entirely?
It can replace other PTSD treatments entirely. That would take months to years to obtain good results.
What are the benefits then of memory?
There are lots of benefits to memory. It's actually what, from an evolutionary perspective, it's what saved our lives for a number of times, countless times, actually. Memory is very important to learn and to learn from one's experience. But I don't think that what we're doing is preventing people from learning and from growing. Essentially, I think what we're doing is bringing people back to where they were before the event.
But that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because there must be risks if you alter a memory, even the hard ones, that whole question of learning from it and making you the person that you are.
To be honest, I've been using this treatment since 2004 now, and I haven't had one single patient come back to me and say, Dr. Brunet, you have really robbed me of some of my most important memories and I don't feel myself anymore.
And that's enough for you?
Yes.
What about this idea of deleting memories altogether? I think of this, the film Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Where is science on that front?
Well, that's a different story, really. I know that researchers are working on that at the MIT and elsewhere around the world. I wouldn't be surprised if this line of research was eventually successful. Maybe 10 or 20 years down the line, I don't know. But that raises more important ethical questions, if you can erase a memory altogether, because that's not what people want.
But tell me the ethical problem if somebody said, I do want to erase this memory.
Most people might be problematic to erase a memory altogether. This being said, I've always been a very lunatic person, and I lose my memories all the time. And I have to deal with it. It's not always fun. But fortunately, I'm here today and I remembered to come.
Well, I was actually going to ask you if you have a memory that you'd be willing to share that you'd like to have altered.
I would have tons of them.
Any in particular you'd like to share?
Oh, my God. No.
Okay. That's fair enough.
I don't think
I can ask the question. You don't always have to answer it. Well, Alain Brunet, thank you very much for sharing your research. It's really interesting.
My pleasure.
Alain Brunet is professor of psychiatry at McGill University. He was in our Montreal studio.